Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Ravay Luckhart's new exhibit of abstract paintings at the South Dakota Art Museum in Brookings connects the Pacific Coast with South Dakota. Luckhart is a retired professor of art at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. She's a Hartford native who lives in San Juan Island, Washington. There's a reception for her exhibit, Brush Color Stroke, tomorrow from 4:30 to 7 o'clock, and she joins us on the line. Ravay, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And how are you? It's been many years since we last spoke.
Well, it's been a while. I don't know how many, many. About 5 years ago, I embarked on that adventure to go to San Juan Island, and I have since been dividing my time between the island and the studio in Rapid City.
And what was the reason for embarking on that adventure to San Juan Island?
Well, I think it was just a matter of spreading the wings and trying to see something new. Having been raised on a farm over by Hartford and lived most of my life in the Midwest and in South Dakota, it was kind of exciting to be able to think of living on the ocean, and certainly that's how it's turned out. My studio is just 50 feet from the water, and it's a completely different experience from the prairie.
With that completely different experience and completely different things that you're looking at, different environment, has that changed your work in any way?
Well, I think my work has always been autobiographical to a point, and so I'm going to be reflecting my surroundings, whether it's the Black Hills or the prairie or the ocean. It's going to be a different kind of palette, a different sensibility. So I think the work does reflect my environment quite a bit.
Is that
in this particular book? Excuse me, Carl.
Yeah, I just wondering if that was the difference. Is it, do the people who come to see your work, do they notice that in the difference in colors and brushstroke, or is that just something that's personal to you that you know?
No, I think you can see the difference. In fact, in this exhibition at the South Dakota Art Museum right now, there is a large room divider screen that has an image of the Northwest on one side and South Dakota on the other side. And I don't think you could confuse the two. I think it's fairly clear which is which. Even though in my work you're not going to find any barns or wagon wheels or little happy clouds, it's still going to represent in subtle ways the environment in which I'm living or working.
So that's as I mentioned before, colors, brush strokes, or some of the shapes and textures?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Northwest is cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's damp. It's, if you think about the sunny sky of South Dakota, the bright colors and the bright sun, that's not apparent in the Northwest. In the Northwest, it's blue, gray, lavender, misty, cool. So by contrast, you choose those various environments just by the colors and the marks, the marking system. Yes.
Do you spend certain times of the year in South Dakota and then other times in San Juan, or is it back and forth?
Well, typically it's back and forth, and I don't have a particular season that I prefer being in one place more than the other, because I like the seasons in both places. So I don't have a regular schedule by any means.
So when the mood strikes you, it's time to go back to Washington? Or
right.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm afraid that's true. My family are hunters, however, so most falls I'm in South Dakota. But the rest of the year, I could be in either place.
I remember speaking with you, and it was at the South Dakota Art Museum, and that was an exhibit, if I recall correctly, inspired by a trip to Europe. I remember cobblestone serving as an inspiration for your work. And travel, is that still an important part of how you get inspiration and find new things to paint or depict, or new creative outlets?
Well, I've been traveling less in the recent years because we built the studio home ourselves. I did this with my family, my sons and Jack. And so this collection of paintings reflects more the joys and stresses of building, of living in the Northwest and in South Dakota, less of foreign travel. And I think it's probably fairly apparent where you see the the stresses, which are the stressful paintings and which are the joyous paintings that relate to the whole building process and relocating in San Juan.
Is that one of the benefits of being an artist, and that you have that outlet for both the joys and the stresses?
Almost certainly. I think that's the best therapy for all of us. Yes, I think that being able to paint it out is a real blessing.
Are your paintings better when you're stressful, or better when you're joyous, or they're just different,
No, they're just different. That old adage that artists have to suffer, I think there's a certain amount of suffering that has to happen, but I can't say that my paintings in which I'm suffering are better than the ones that I'm joyous. No, they just record the event. I use music a great deal now, and I have for maybe the last 10 or 15 years. And now I'm using a more abstract, atonal kind of music. And I use that not to interpret, but as a stimulus, a kind of energy. I start my paintings without a plan. I see that big white clean canvas, and I put the music on, and I put down some marks. I react to those marks, and then I react again and again until the canvas is starting to take shape. I rotate the canvases on the easel. When figures or subjects start to appear, by rotating the canvas, I'm freed to paint them out. Actually, each day is a new day on the canvas without a plan. So I might paint out the whole previous day's work or a portion of it. Every day is exciting because I don't have to follow a plan.
Does that
answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It actually sounds like a very, very fun way to create.
Well, it is.
Exciting is the word you used.
Yeah. That's the blessing part of it. I think the painting, the product, is really an embodiment of that creative energy. And it portrays basically my will to create.
How do you know when you're finished? Since you don't have that plan.
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's a common question. I think that it's the artist's instinct that the painting is now resolved. It's balanced. It works. It conveys an emotion or an intention that is now resolved. And that's a very abstract thought, I know, but that's how I know when it's done.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned you grew up in rural South Dakota. Were you painting as a young girl, too?
Oh, yes. Yes, I painted from the time I was probably 10 or 12 years old. And for me, it was never a decision. I always knew I would be an artist.
And what was it that first drew you to painting, to art?
Oh, I don't know. Don't you think that in those years so long ago, growing up on a farm and you didn't have playmates, or I didn't have playmates, I had a number of siblings, but I think I created my own world. I think many of us as artists do that. We create our own world through our art.
And that's what and that's what you're doing now.
Right. And that's also why it doesn't really matter if I'm on the island or if I'm in the Black Hills. I'm still, the location doesn't matter, except that my work reflects where I am. But I can paint it, I can do it anywhere.
Do you miss you were teaching for many years at the School of Mines? Is that something that you miss, or just you?
Yes, yeah? Of course. I loved my job at the School of Mines. I really enjoyed teaching engineering students, teaching young people, period. I liked it very much. But once I quit and started working more in the studio, I found that it was okay to not teach anymore, that I'd been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and now it's time to be in the studio and develop that other side of me to a further extent. So I'm perfectly happy being in the studio. I don't want to go back to full-time teaching again.
You said full-time teaching? Is there still some aspect of teaching in your life?
I am not teaching at the moment, but there's certainly always lots of requests, and I know I could do it if I wanted to devote my time to that.
I imagine not having the regular teaching job, as we were talking about, gives you that freedom to take off and go to Washington or go to the Black Hills when you need to.
Yes, certainly it does.
I haven't moved
my printing presses out to Washington, so I'm just painting there and leaving the presses and the print studio in Rapid City for the time being.
This exhibit, Brush Color Stroke, is there anything in particular that unites the work in this exhibit?
Is there anything particular that I like in this exhibit?
No, that unites. I'm assuming you like everything in it, but if someone comes up, there's a certain theme.
No, there's not a theme unless we're looking at the energy that's in the work, the color, the energy, the marking system, and the fact that part of it's in the Northwest and part of it's in South Dakota. And it's kind of interesting to try to look at the work and choose where was this done, where was that done, and is she celebrating here or is she in a fit of stress? Because the roof hasn't been put on, or the windows don't fit, or something like that. You know, those kind of problems when you're building are sometimes pretty frustrating.
Ravé Lockhart's exhibition, Brush Color Stroke, is at the South Dakota Art Museum in Brookings through September 15th, and she speaks at an artist reception tomorrow from 4:30 to 7 o'clock, and she's on the road right now. And Ravé, safe travels, and thanks for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye now.
That's Ravé Lockhart. You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and coming up after a short break, we'll hear about the history of Deadwood's Chinatown and the unsolved murder of a Chinese woman purported to be the most beautiful woman in Deadwood.